We would like to take a moment to thank our sponsor, Preborn. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears its heartbeat, it's a divine connection. And the majority of the time, she will choose life. But they can't do it without our help. Preborn needs us, the pro-life community, to come alongside them. One ultrasound is just $28. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby, or visit preborn.com.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning. I hope you're having a great Wednesday. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever sung the song in church, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing? It was written by Robert Robinson, who lived in the 1700s, and it's an old, old hymn, and it's one that churches sing today. It's been redone. Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, tune my heart to sing thy grace. It has a line in the song, though, that many people who are not familiar with Scripture, especially the Old Testament, say, what does this mean? Here's the line. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Here by thy great help I've come. And they say, what in the world is that, raising your Ebenezer? Well, it comes from 1 Samuel chapter 7, when Israel got right with the Lord. Samuel led them in repentance, and they had to fight the Philistines right after that, and God brought about a great victory, and he thundered from heaven, and they won the victory, and Samuel set up a stone. Ebenezer means stone of help, and he set up this stone, and he called it Ebenezer, and he said these words, thus far the Lord has helped us. He named the stone Ebenezer. It's a spiritual marker. Well, we want to talk today. Debbie is with me in the studio, and we want to talk today about spiritual markers, raising your Ebenezer. When Joshua and the people crossed the Jordan River, he had them take, by God's direction, take 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan and bring them out of the Jordan and set them up in Gilgal, I believe. And they were markers there so that they could teach their children and remind their children that God brought them through the Red Sea, through a miracle, into the Promised Land, just like he brought them through the Jordan River, just like he brought them through the Red Sea, through a miracle of parting the waters. And they were to be a teaching tool and a reminder to the people that God is their provider, their deliverer, their everything.
Well, I think it's interesting also as we look back on our own lives to remember that every time that God moves in our lives, it's building on things that he's already done. So he doesn't take us off on some wild tangent that we have, there's absolutely no reason for it to take place. Everything has intentionality to it. And I think that's one of the reasons it's so important as a believer and as your family heritage to make sure that you establish those markers, that you go back and you remember them, that you write them down so that you can look back and know and see what God has done in the past to give you the assurance that he is not going to just disappear, that he is going to be faithful in the future with your family, with your life, with the direction of your family. And it's important to do. And like you said, not just for yourselves, but for future generations, that your kids and your grandkids, they can see the faithfulness of God throughout your lifetime.
Well, we easily forget what the Lord has done, and it helps us when we have that spiritual marker and that reminder. Hey, when I was in this situation mm-hmm. and I cried out to the Lord, he responded, mm-hmm. and I don't want to ever forget that. Adrian Rogers used to say that the weakest ink is better than the best memory, because we all have such a tendency to forget. And so when you set up a spiritual marker, whether it's, and it's more than just writing it in a notebook, because that you don't really see that. It's better to have some kind of spiritual marker that is something that is tangible that you can see, just like that stone of remembrance, just like the 12 stones in Gilgal. It was something they could see on a regular basis. That's a reminder that God delivered us, that God is for us, not against us, that God does respond when we pray.
Right. And I know that there was a time when our middle daughter was going through a really rough patch, and I had to make kind of a quick trip down to Houston to spend some time with her. And that was the one of the things that we did as we sat and we were talking. I had brought like a glass flower vase, I guess, for lack of a better word, and I had bought some big rocks with me. And so we had a time, several hours, where we just sat down and looked back over her life and said, okay, when has God been faithful to you? And we would just write down a word or two on the stone and put that stone in that glass container. And one of the gals that works for us, I happened to be in her office the other day, and I noticed that she had something similar to that. She had it on her desk, not on her desk, but on a filing cabinet, and there were some stones there that she had written down some spiritual markers on.
Right?
Yeah, just to be able to remember, because, you know, we as humans, we just forget things. We forget the level of intensity of things, and we just overlook and we forget things. And you have said so many times, Jeff, even from the pulpit, that it's like, even in coming to church, it's not necessarily that you're hearing new things all the time.
Right.
You're being reminded of things that you already have heard, that you already know. And that's significant, because we do forget.
Right.
And it's important to remember.
Okay, so a line from your favorite movie, Debbie, The Sound of Music.
Oh, yes.
When
I could play every part.
When Georg says, you brought music back into the home, I had forgotten.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just like us. We forget. And so those spiritual markers are there to help us remember. Now, this is what Joshua said, and when he had them get the 12 stones out of the Jordan River, and he set it up in Gilgal, and it says, and he said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you until you had crossed, just as the Lord your God had done to the Red Sea, which he dried up before us until we had crossed. Now watch this, that all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. That's what it was there for, so that the people would remind their children, God delivered, God's hand is mighty, and we need to fear him.
Right. And I think, too, that if you think about a spiritual marker in terms of just it's something that identifies a time in your life that God transitioned you, that he spoke to you, that he gave you direction in terms of a decision that you had to make. And oftentimes, I know in our lives, the decision hasn't been something between necessarily good and bad. It's been a decision between good, best, and better. And God wants us to be in sync with him. And as a result of that, when we seek him out, he's faithful to guide us and to lead us and to remind us of those times that he's led us in the past. And just like I had said earlier, it's like it's always in sequence with the things that he's already done in our lives. And so it is just so important to do that, because difficult times are going to come.
Mm-hmm.
There are going to be times when the enemy whispers in our ears, God has left you.
Mm-hmm.
God doesn't love you anymore. If he loved you, he wouldn't be allowing this to take place in your life right now. I mean, the enemy is on it like a duck on a June bug, just ready to make us
right.
doubt God and his word. And so to have those things established in our minds and hearts, so that when those times do come, when those times where the enemy is whispering in our ears, we can say, oh, no. I God did this before. He can do this again in my life.
Well, you know, it's funny. So when people we have a whole genre of music called the blues, singing the blues. And it's those are sad songs.
Right.
I'm reminded of the Gilbert O'Sullivan song "Alone Again Naturally," because that was a time when my mom and dad were going through serious marital problems, and that song would come on the radio, and my dad had moved out, and my mom would listen to that song, and, you know, it just is like, that's not a good song.
Right.
You know, if there's a line in the song that says, if God really does exist, then why did he desert me? In my hour of need, I truly am indeed alone again, naturally. Well, I know she felt that way, but that's not the truth, because Jesus said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. And I believe, although my mom, I don't know if she'd agree with us totally, but God used that to bring her to a saving knowledge of Jesus. She was very religious, but it was all kind of in her head and going through the motions. And she even told me, she said, I never knew how much God loved me. I didn't know about his personal love for me until I went through that. Mm-hmm. But I still remember as a young boy, it's like, that's a catchy tune, Alone Again Naturally. It's a very popular song.
Right.
But it's not a good message, and it's not something that you want to play in your head. When you're sad, you don't need to sing the blues. You need to start praising the Lord.
It's not a Philippians 4:8 song,
no,
right?
No, whatever is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and whatever is of good repute, if there's any excellence and if anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. And so, and it's good to give thanks to the Lord, and when we offer up a sacrifice of thanksgiving, that means that it's everything's going wrong in life, but I still thank God. I praise God. I know that he's over it all. And that's the time to go back to those spiritual markers and to raise that Ebenezer. So if you've never raised an Ebenezer, you've never put out a stone of remembrance, then it's tough in the difficult times. You don't have any stones to look back on.
Right.
And so,
and difficult times are going to come.
They're coming.
Right.
Yeah. So hey, maybe everything's going great in your life right now, but you have failed to raise some Ebenezers. You've failed to put up some spiritual markers, some tangible things you can look at and your family can look at to say, see, this is the Lord has brought us this far. And he's not going to leave us and drop us in the grease. He's going to bring us all the way through.
Yeah. What would you say, Jeff, is one of your first spiritual markers that you can go back to, other than your salvation? I mean, that's a huge spiritual marker, obviously. But past that.
Well, I was thinking, so I go back to my salvation experience a lot. And I think everybody, that is the first spiritual marker.
Right.
If you don't have that Ebenezer that you can go back to, and if that is fuzzy, you don't want to enter into eternity with a fuzzy salvation experience. You want that to be solid. And so, you know, you want to know that you know that you know that you know that you've been born again, that you've given your heart and life to Jesus Christ. I wouldn't want to face eternity with a kind of a question mark salvation. Well, I don't know exactly when that happened. It was sometime, you know, I think in my junior high school years. Don't do that. If you don't have a specific time that you know this is when I surrendered my life to Jesus, you need to do that today.
Well, and I know that we have had, in the course of our ministry, we have had so many people that we have counseled that have doubted their salvation. And I know that we have always kind of advise them to, okay, if you're not sure, you can make it sure today. Let's pray together again. Let's just nail this down. And then we've had them write that down in ink on a piece of paper, put it in an envelope, seal the envelope, put that envelope in their Bible.
Right.
So that way, when the enemy comes to cause them to doubt, to question, to not be sure, they can go back to that envelope and say, no, I meant this with all my heart on this day.
Yeah, so that Gary Ayler told me about that. And he said, hey, when you're dealing with kids, he said, have them take an envelope. The envelope represents their lives. Have them draw a picture of Jesus. And put Jesus, when they pray to receive Christ, you put the picture of Jesus in the envelope and you seal it. Ephesians 1:3, we're sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise. And you write down the date. This is the day that I receive Christ as Savior and Lord. And then you keep that, just as you said, Debbie, that's a spiritual marker of their salvation. And when the devil tries to make you doubt, oh, that didn't really happen, it's like, wait a minute. Mm-hmm. On this day, I prayed with Pastor Jeff or Pastor whoever, mm-hmm. or my mom or my dad, and I meant it. And Romans 10, 9 and 10, if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. And so we cling to the word of God. We're not saved because of a feeling. We're saved by the truth of the word of God. And when God says, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, if you repent and believe, you receive eternal life. If we do that, then we just rest in the word of God that says, God says, if I do this, then he will do that. And I'm trusting in him. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve, along with my beautiful wife, Debbie. We're talking about spiritual markers, raising an Ebenezer. So we are up against a break, but we'll be right back. Don't go away. I'd like to take a minute and have a heart-to-heart with you. If you're able, place your hand over your heart. Can you feel it? My strong heartbeat reminds me that I'm alive. See, it's the same for an unborn baby. Their heart begins to form at conception, and at just 3 weeks is already beating. At 5 weeks, a baby's heartbeat can be heard on ultrasound. That's where preborn steps in, rescuing 200 babies every day from abortion simply by providing a mother with a free ultrasound and allowing her to hear her child's heartbeat and see their perfectly formed body in the womb. By 6 weeks, eyes are forming. By 10 weeks, a baby is able to suck his or her thumb. Preborn needs our help to save these precious souls. For just $28, you could be the difference between the life or death of a baby. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here along with Debbie. We're talking about spiritual markers. As the song says from 1 Samuel chapter 7, based on 1 Samuel chapter 7, here I raise my Ebenezer. And an Ebenezer is a stone of help. That's what that word means. And that's what Samuel called that stone because he said, the Lord has helped us. And the Lord delivered his people in 1 Samuel 7, direct response to their prayer. They're getting right with God. He delivered them from the Philistines in a miraculous way. And Samuel set up that stone to say, hey, this is a reminder to all of us that God responded to our repentance, that he delivered us. And so the question comes into play, have you raised your Ebenezer? Do you have spiritual markers in your life for yourself, for your family, for your kids especially, that you can say, see kids, God did this for us, God is with us, God responds when we pray, and when we are walking with him, he's going to always deliver and provide for us.
Well, at the end of our last segment, Jeff, we were talking about the first real spiritual marker that we all have as believers is our salvation experience and how important it is to nail that down, to be sure about that, you may not know the exact day, the exact time, or any of those things. I know in general when that happened for me, but it's important that you know it. But as we build on that, what would you say would be your next big spiritual marker after your salvation experience, which happened end of your senior year of high school? I think that's interesting too, because we've talked about this before. God's timing is so perfect because you got saved and then pretty soon after that you left to go to college.
Right.
And if you would have gotten saved any sooner, you probably wouldn't have gotten rooted and grounded with the depth in which you were able to, because you would have been swayed by your old friends, your old lifestyle, all of that.
That would have been very hard for me because all my buddies were, you know, I played on the basketball team and they were, and none of those guys were Christians, although a lot of those guys became Christians. Mm-hmm. And Mike Lurch has been on the program before, you know, one of my lifelong friends. He came to Christ. He's an elder in his church. And Todd King, a deacon, he was my roommate in college. So the Lord did great things there. But I would think that the other big thing that jumps out at me, although, you know, meeting you was huge.
Thank you. I was waiting for that. I was leaving you crumbs to get to there. No, just kidding.
So I've said before, you know, the greatest decision of my whole life was to receive Christ. And the second greatest decision was to marry you.
Aww.
And the third greatest decision was to leave my job at Nalco Chemical Company and to go into the ministry. And so that is that. Event and experience with the Lord where he spoke to my heart, and I said to the Lord in prayer on a Wednesday night, Rich Holcomb was preaching. We were in the fellowship hall at Champion Forest Baptist Church. It was in July of 1995, and he talked about getting out of the boat and trusting God, and he had an illustration about a guy going into the ministry. And so I said at the end of that, I'd been wrestling with that and wanting that, but I didn't know if God had called me. I said, Lord, I think you're calling me to preach, and I commit my life to do that. And when I said that, that's when the Lord, it's just like he pulled me so close to his heart and said, I've been waiting for you to make that decision. Now we have a deal. And so that was pretty... you know, that's a major Ebenezer moment for me. And, you know, we had to go through.
Right. I was going to say it ended in an Ebenezer moment for me, not at the same time, right? Because I really struggled with that decision. But God used the Bible study experiencing God to get me on board with what he had called you to do. The interesting thing about your call was I never doubted that. I had seen, as you taught Sunday school, as you did these other things, I saw, number one, how gifted you were to do it. I saw, number two, the joy that it brought you to do it, your desire to do it. It was never a burden. It was always just something that you got excited about, and that just, it was such a thrill for you to teach your Sunday school class. And so I'd never, ever doubted God's call on your life. I didn't feel called myself. And so that was the internal struggle that I had. And God used the Bible study experiencing God to change my heart and to get me to see, hey, Debbie, you may not feel it and you're not equipped to do it, but I am. And I'm going to equip you to do it. I'm going to give you a heart for it. I'm going to give you the abilities and the skills that you need. I'm going to give you my presence to guide you through it. And so that was a real spiritual marker for me, that turnaround that happened in my own heart, to be able to come to you and say, hey, I'm not on your page, but I'm in your book, you know, and for us to, at that point, I started researching seminaries for us to go to, and it really did, as a couple, as well as a family, it absolutely changed the trajectory of our lives.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think about being at seminary, at Southeastern Seminary there, and we went in 1996. We were just there for a year before we came back to Champion Forest.
Such a great year, wasn't it?
But it was a great year, and the first time, this is so cool, and you have, God's given you discernment and the ability to kind of see things that I don't see, but we met Wayne McDill. Dr. Wayne McDill, who was my preaching professor and has had a profound impact on my life, but you said to me, you said, Jeff, that guy is going to be instrumental in your life. And so I remember first semester I took preaching, the preparation of sermons from Dr. Wayne McDill. And there was a part of me that hated it. It was so hard because it was so foreign to how I prepared a message. And but it was very, very good. It was really helped me. And then his book, The Message in Your Emotions, I had taken that book and I had turned it into a sermon series. And then I turned that sermon series into a book called Runaway Emotions. And he wrote the foreword for it. And he was all for me taking his book that was written more for seminary students. And I wrote mine, taking his thoughts, but wrote it for the everyday person. And just a great book tracing why you feel the way you do and what God wants you to do about it. With negative emotions, what is the message in there? And how do you overcome embarrassment? How do you overcome worry? How do you overcome anger? How do you overcome guilt and all that? I think we need a depression. We talked about 9 different negative emotions. But anyway, that was huge. And the Lord used those experiences in our children's lives. That time away at seminary, mm-hmm. where mom and dad are out of the boat, they're walking on the water with Jesus, they're trusting God. God's providing for our needs. You know, we went to seminary with no job.
Right. No insurance and one vehicle.
Yeah. I mean, it was, okay, God, we're trusting you to mm-hmm. provide. And God provided. Mm-hmm. And you were working at the Baptist bookstore for $5 an hour.
Well, I first was working at Enloe High School, remember? I taught there for a while.
Yeah. And that paid better, but it was...
Yes,
it was a rough experience.
It was a very rough experience.
But I worked 3 jobs. I was pastoring a little church. I was selling pumps on the chemical metering pumps on the side. And then I was working at Nalco as a part-timer. And so we had a lot of things going on, and God was faithful to us. And I was a full-time student. And so those were things. And, you know, at seminary, that was another spiritual marker for me when I was frustrated because I had left everything, and I had left a good job and a good Sunday school class at Champion Forest to go to seminary. And at seminary, I had nothing as far as spiritual opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, when you go to seminary, everyone wants to preach. Everyone wants to teach a Sunday school class. And so you get all these guys together in a one city, then it's like, well, there are not enough churches to go around. And I remember you had opportunities right off the bat. They're like, hey, you sing, you sing next Sunday.
You play the piano. Can you play here?
I said, well, good night. We came here.
For me.
For me to have opportunities to serve, and I have none. I remember talking to Colin DeMond Shook, and Mark Shook was on the phone, who's my age, and he was on staff at Champion Forest as the associate. And I remember I said, you know, I'm just frustrated. I just don't understand. And the Lord used that and spoke to my heart later that day and said, Jeff, who called you to seminary? I said, well, you did, Lord. And he said, and who's running this show, you or me? I said, well, you are, Lord. He said, well, and all this happens, you know, I'm filling in the blanks. God's not saying all these words, but he's impressing that on my heart. Right. And he said to me, well, if I want you to just be a student and not be teaching or preaching or doing anything like that, don't you think that would be okay? If I want to put you on the shelf and just teach you, don't you think that should be okay with you? And I said, yes, Lord. And I was very convicted. And then I said, okay, I'm just surrendered for whatever you had. And it was soon after that that I started preaching at Brown's Baptist Church in Norlina, North Carolina.
Well, it's interesting that you should say the yes, Lord part, because as we were in our Bible study experiencing God this last week in our Sunday school class, that was one of the main things that was brought out. It's like you cannot say no, Lord. If you say no, he's not Lord.
Right.
Right. If he's Lord of your life, the answer is yes.
Right.
And I that's interesting that you would bring that up.
You know, I use this in sermons a lot where Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do the things that I say? Mm-hmm. I'm not your Lord if you're not obeying me. You can't call me Master, Master when you're not obeying me. Mm-hmm. So that was a big one for me, and God used that. And so, Debbie, how about raising your Ebenezer? Think about something that when I was at Champion Forest, when we had come back, something that Bobby Wood, Davis and Bobby Wood, they're both in heaven now, but he was an older pastor, and he was doing pastoral care at Champion Forest, and she was just a godly, godly woman. And she said something to me one day, and it wasn't like, hey, I got a revelation from the Lord. I need to, you know, pull me over into a corner. This is really important. It was just in passing, but it was something that just stuck to me like glue, that I wrote it in my Bible. Mm-hmm. And, you know, something, I just shared it with you. I don't share it with anybody else because mm-hmm. it sounds self-serving, but it was just something that the Lord gave me that I go back to a lot. Mm-hmm. It says, okay, I remember when she said this to me, mm-hmm. and Lord, I'm trusting that you're going to do these things that she kind of alluded to.
Right. Well, I remember another spiritual marker in our lives, and this is much further down the road, but we were in San Antonio for a Southern Baptist Convention, and I don't remember when this was. This was probably early 2000, maybe 2005, 2006, anyway. But in while we were there, I had the most vivid vision slash dream that I have really ever had in my entire life. I know we all dream every night. I rarely remember mine, but this one I remembered like in Technicolor. And it was just this huge warring angel that was over our church in Texarkana that had his sword drawn. And I remember waking up with a dual emotion. Number one, knowing that, okay, God is watching out for us. He's protecting us, all of that. But B, we may have some troubled days ahead because of this. And sure enough, down the road, in not too short of an order, actually, we did have some major trouble erupt at the church. And I remember going back to that, and we both did. We both right. went back to that vision of and that dream that God had given me that was so clear that it's like, okay, even though there's going to be some battles ahead,
the Lord is going to protect us,
and he's there. Don't ever doubt his presence. Don't ever doubt his provision and his protection. And that was the security that brought, and just the peace that brought, knowing that was not, you know, I didn't eat, you know, bad yeah, olives or yeah. something before I went to bed. You know, that was absolutely from the Lord. And it's cool how he does that.
Yeah, and that was a very difficult time that lasted for a good while.
It did.
Mm-hmm. But the Lord brought us through, and so, yeah, we go back to those. Those are those spiritual markers. We go back to those, and we say, God, this is what you did in my life. You showed me that you knew exactly what was going on and that you delivered. You responded to my prayer. And so that the importance of then you, when you're facing something new, you go back and you say, the God who has delivered me, he will yet deliver me. You know, that reminds me, Debbie, of a scripture passage in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, where Paul was going through a hard time. And he says, for we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. It was really bad for Paul. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves in order that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death and will deliver us, he on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. So you know that God has delivered. He will deliver. You trust him. You set your hope on him.
Right. And I think, you know, like I said in the last segment, it is so easy for us to get our minds off of that truth and for the enemy to come in and whisper lies to us that God isn't going to deliver, that he's not the same yesterday, today, and forever, for us to doubt his character, doubt his goodness, doubt his love. And so it goes back to, we have to know that we know, and our minds are feeble, and so it's so great to have those things that we can go back to and force us to recall and remember God's faithfulness, because like we said, we are going to have difficulties in life. We're going to have trying situations. We're going to have hard decisions to make. We're going to have real valleys that we go through. And to know that, you know, God's word promises us that he will never leave us or forsake us, and that we go through those valleys. We don't stay there.
Right. Well, when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your phone calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear about your spiritual marker or markers in life. And if you have a question about spiritual markers, we'd love to field those for you, hopefully help with that. So give us a call, and we'll be right back in just a couple of minutes. Thanks.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. Pastor Jeff here along with Debbie, and we're talking about spiritual markers. We started the program with the the lyric from the song, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing, where Robert Robinson, the hymn writer, says, Here I raise my Ebenezer, from 1 Samuel chapter 7. Ebenezer is a stone. It's the word means the stone of help. And God helped his people, and they set up a spiritual marker to remind them that God has brought us this far. And there's an old song that I like. It plays through my head periodically. It says this, He didn't bring us this far to leave us. And so we can know that the God who helped us in the past is the God who wants to help us in the future. Well, we are going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840. We'd love to hear about your spiritual markers, or if you have a question, comment, we'd love to hear from you. So we have John on the line from Virginia. John, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Pastor Jeff, and it's awesome to have your wife, Debbie, with you. I agree 100%. I think that commitment I made to Jesus Christ at age 22 was huge, and I also loved the that second Ebenezer of marriage. You know, it's a commitment we make certainly before the Lord, before our wife, and the community, at least in our wedding service, you know, the congregation said they'll do everything in their power to support us. All my kids are married. One of the marriages is struggling. And I just wanted to put a plug in for something you and Debbie put together, Desperate Households.
Uh-huh.
I bought it for my son and daughter-in-law, and I decided I'm going to listen to this thing first. And I'll tell you, I've been married almost 40 years. I thought I got this thing down, but some of the points in there were so good. I think it's just renewed and refreshed that Ebenezer of my marriage vow and commitment to my awesome wife. So thank you, Pastor Jeff and Debbie.
Amen. Well, thank you for that, John. That's what an encouragement. And so I'm glad that was a blessing to you. I can't remember when we did Desperate Households. I think that's fairly fairly old. But the truth is still the truth. And
right.
So, you know, when you preach the truth of Scripture, John MacArthur has said this, you know, when you preach from the Scripture and you preach timeless truths, that message is good for a long, long, long time. You know, some of your illustrations may get dated, but the truth of God's word doesn't change. And so the commands, Ephesians 5, to husbands and wives, husbands love your wives, and wives see to it that you respect your husband. Those things don't change, and that's the way God set it up.
Right. Jeff, do any more spiritual markers that you can think of for you?
Wait.
I'm sorry.
John, anything else on that?
No, I just, anybody in a marriage, I would just highly recommend that teaching series. It just blessed me.
Amen.
But thank you, and I appreciate your ministries, both of you.
Thank you, John.
I think one thing about marriage that is just a constant is that it's always growing and changing. And you have to always be working on it, because it can stagnate really quickly if you're not always having that as a priority. And going back to the love and respect thing.
Right.
It's huge.
Well, you know, marriage, I've said before, marriage is a lot like your relationship with the Lord. It doesn't just stay the same.
Right.
It's a dynamic, and you have to keep filling it and feeding it. Otherwise, you start to drift away, because the current of the world is to pull people apart in marriage and to cause us to drift away from the Lord. So we have to seek him with all our hearts.
Right.
John, thank you for your call, and you bless my heart today, my brother. So God bless you. Thank you. Well, we have Matthew on the line from Oklahoma. Matthew, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff.
Good morning.
Debbie, how are you all today?
Great.
Good. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. Thank you for what you're doing, and this message really spoke to my heart. My wife and I, we had the opportunity to purchase some land, and I wasn't sure it was really the right time, but the Lord really put it in my heart to do it. And so about 3 or 4 years after this point, the Lord had led us to sell our home, and so we purchased a mobile and put it on the other land, paid off the other land, and got out of debt. right before, I don't know, 21 or so, and right around 21. But in the process, we were doing some work on the original property, and there were a lot of large rocks. And I just felt real, like the Lord really put it on my heart to make a monument to the Lord that he had given us this land. So I took those rocks, like it says in the Old Testament, and we put them on our land, and then we're going to be able to tell our kids as they get older that this was a gift from the Lord. And
how
when
cool.
they see that, they're going to know, hey, you know, but the Lord is still the same. You know, he still gives you direction for the things that you need to do. And hopefully they'll be able to say, okay, it's time to start listening.
So, that's awesome, Matthew. How many children do you have?
The Lord has blessed us with six. We had one miscarriage, so we had seven. But we have six in our tribe.
All right. How old are your kids?
That's pretty awesome. Well, sir, they're 11, 10, 9, about to be 8. One of them is 5, and then the youngest is 1.
All right. Six kids. I came from a family of six. That's a challenge for
sure.
That's
truly a tribe.
Yeah, so... Congrats to you and your wife. Hats off to you guys, because I know it is worth it for sure, but it's hard work. It's raising children is not easy. As Dr. Dobson said in his book, Parenting Isn't for Cowards. And so God bless you guys. And I think that is just awesome, Matthew, to have that as a spiritual marker for them to see on the land that God has provided. And the God who has provided is the God who will provide. So God bless you, and thank you for sharing that with us. We have Sandy on the line from Texas. Sandy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi, Jeff and Debbie. I just want to tell y'all are God's dynamic duo.
Oh, goodness.
I just love y'all to death, and I've had tears listening to you this morning because, you know, it's hard to be a widow. But anyway, I just want to tell you, one time when my husband was alive, we had a little 6-acre lake beside our house, a little bit of heaven, and in our Bible study, we wrote on a rock and threw it in the lake, you know, some person that we or something we wanted to say or whatever, and that was kind of a marker. I don't even remember what that was, but I wanted to tell you that my markers, which I didn't tell you, Jeff, when I wrote you a long letter told you the story of my life, my markers are scriptures that I just come back to me all the time. Genesis 50, 20 and 21, Hebrews 13:5b, you know, I'll never leave you or forsake you, and then Psalms 27:10, when your mother and father forsake you, God will lift you up, you know. And I'm the one that was raised in a children's home in Houston at DePelchin Faith Home for 10 years of my childhood. And then I got out of there, graduated from there, married an alcoholic. But fortunately, we stayed married 55 years, and he was sober 25 years and helping other alcoholics before he died at 15. But anyway, I just love what y'all have to say, and I'm going to think about that marker thing, because maybe I can think of some. But the scriptures really are marked in my heart, you know.
Yes.
So.
Amen. Amen. What, Sandy, what city are you in?
Tyler.
Tyler. Okay. Go ahead, uh-huh. Debbie.
Go ahead.
Oh, it's not. Okay. Debbie said she had something, but it's something different. So, well, thank you for calling in, and God bless you. And I know that it's painful, especially at holiday time when you miss your loved ones. But what a great legacy God has given you. And I appreciate you sharing those scriptures with us. So God bless you, Sandy. Have a wonderful Christmas season.
Well, one of the gals at our office just sent me this, and I wanted to read it on air because it's just so good. She had sent me the lyrics to this song called Just As Good by Ellie Holcomb, and it's talking about the importance of these spiritual markers of these Ebenezers, and these are some of the lyrics. As you're still just as good as when I met you, you're still just as kind. Don't let me forget that. You're still the same God that led me through the fire. You're still the same God who separates the waters. Come do what only you can do. God, I need you. And I will build an altar and stack it stone by stone, because every Ebenezer says I've never been alone. My faith will surely falter, but that don't change what you've done, because every Ebenezer points to where my help comes from.
Amen.
Great, great song, great lyrics.
Is that a newer song?
I couldn't tell you. Yeah. I really don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't keep up with the newer songs.
No, so. You definitely don't keep up with the newer songs.
I know
songs,
more but. Songs from the 1700s, I think, with
yes.
older hymns.
Yes, you do.
The musical portion is not my strongest suit. Although we have Zach Williams coming in on Friday to First Baptist Texarkana. If you live anywhere near the Texarkana area, I'd love for you to come and be a part of that. I think he had a sale going. I saw on Facebook. It was $15. But anyway, that's going to be Friday night at 7 o'clock. Zach Williams, he's the guy that wrote the song Chainbreaker. Is that right?
That's a good question.
I think so.
Okay.
All right. Well, the phone number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you want to share about your spiritual marker, we still have about 5 minutes. And Debbie, you were asking me about other spiritual markers. You know, I think with From His Heart Ministries, we started that at the end of 2004, and we had our first broadcast in 2005, and I had $35,000 that was given to as seed money to start the ministry, and I didn't know how much it cost to do broadcast ministry. And so I thought, hey,
it's a good thing you didn't.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, so $35,000 was enough for 1 year of broadcast on FamilyNet, which was a smaller TV station nationwide in different cities, and then enough for a website. So I thought we were doing great. And then I went to my first National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Los Angeles, California. My friend Carl Townsend, who did a lot of work with different ministries, Charles Stanley and Adrian Rogers and others, he started advising me, and he was the one that got me to go. And then he told me, I was getting the feeling that my $35,000 wasn't quite enough. I said, how much money do I need to get this going, get this off the ground? He said, oh, you need about $500,000 in the war chest. And I thought to myself, good grief, how in the world would I ever get $500,000? And so I said, you know, might as well shut this down. There's no way, this is impossible. And the Lord really convicted me and said, you know, it might be impossible with you, but impossible is I'm possible with God. And so that was a turning point when I said, Lord, I can't do this, and I can't see how this is going to happen, but you can do it. And it was after I prayed that prayer and really confessed my unbelief to the Lord that in the mail, a check one day, unsolicited, for $100,000. Mm-hmm. And that was God just saying, I have this, just trust me. So,
well,
a spiritual
that,
marker.
You know, that continues, because we have, throughout the course of the 20 years of this ministry, we've definitely had financial ups and downs. And I just recently was talking to some of our staff, and I said, you know, God has things for us to do. I know that He does. He has areas and people for this ministry to reach, and we have to do our part, but it's His responsibility to provide for it. And so we don't doubt it. We trust it. We look for it. We just know it's coming. And He's going to put on people's hearts a desire to support us or whatever it may be. And that has happened time and time again. But those are spiritual markers. And as a right. ministry, we have spiritual markers in the course of the ministry right. in terms of how God has so faithfully provided.
Well, we just have about a minute left, but we have Daryl on the line from Texas. Daryl, welcome. Welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you, Jeff. Nice to talk to you this morning. God bless
you. Good to talk to you.
Spiritual marker that I had in 2014, I was sitting in my home, all the windows and doors shut, and the wind started blowing about 10 miles an hour inside my house while I was sitting there. And it scared me at first until I realized it was the Holy Spirit. I quietly sat down, let the wind blow on me, I closed my eyes and just sat in the Spirit. And I felt the Lord just put His arms around me and embraced me for about 45 to 60 seconds. And it prepared me for some major things that hit me in the next couple of years, life-saving events that He was there for me. And I'll never forget it, but it showed the physicality of how God comes to where we are in this world and touches us in a physical way that I'll never forget for the rest of my life.
Amen. Amen. How cool is that? Well, thank you for sharing that, Daryl. And that's an encouragement to all our hearts. God does love us. He does care for us. He does know what we're going through. He's not oblivious. He says in the book of Isaiah, he said, can a mother forget her nursing child? Even these may forget, as strange as that would be for a mother to forget her child, but I will not forget you. I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Well, Carl, I'm sorry we didn't get to you today, but call back again another day. I'd love to talk to you. Thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Remember, go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you, and God will use you as His witness. Christmas time is a great time to share with the world that Jesus Christ is Lord. I'll be with you again tomorrow. God bless. If you have the means, would you consider a leadership gift to save babies in a big way? Your tax-deductible donation of $5,000 will sponsor Preborn's entire network for 24 hours, helping to rescue 200 babies. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or donate securely at preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.